All right, we roll on here on a Tuesday. Roger Weiland, Michael Johnson Jr., Mike Palumbo, and joined by Dwayne Killings, the head coach of the UAlbany men's basketball program, just back from a three-game road trip to Canada, and they'll go right back on the road to Columbia on Saturday. Coach DK, good morning. How are you?
Morning, man. Morning. It's recovering from a cold and obviously, thinking about Liam's family here. It's been rough here on campus and, with the news about, him and thinking about his family. So just wanted to, lead with that. And I know people have done an amazing job with his GoFundMe efforts, for his family. So thinking about him and send my thoughts and prayers to his family.
Yep, it's been it's just a brutal, awful story that we've been reporting on since Monday, and it happened on Sunday at his home, and the fall for Liam Gleason, for the men's lacrosse head coach at Siena, and what a great human being he is, and a great coach, and all of the above, and so well liked by everyone. And yes, to your point, DK, the GoFundMe page is, what did it get to, 400,000 when we were first reported on the story of Monday night at 6:30. The GoFundMe page was at about 60 grand, and look where it ended at $400,000 for his wife and his three kids. Just a brutal story. But yeah, thoughts and prayers continue to pour in, and I'm glad that you brought that up off the top of this segment here. Well done, DK. All right, so what was your take away from your three-game road trip to Canada?
It was a great event, well run by the people that put the event together. So, we go out and we play Colgate, which is, one of the better mid-major programs, in the country. And Matt Langle and I actually worked together at Temple years ago. And it was a great, game for us. Where I thought we showed a lot of growth. We had the lead at halftime. And then, the game goes back and forth. Really good college basketball game. Ball's in our hands with 6 seconds to go, down two. Get a shot at the rim, miss, and can't force overtime. And I thought it took a lot out of us, took a lot out of Amir. And, we played with dead legs against Fordham. And we started pressing and made a little bit of a comeback. Got to get down to as much as 9 in the second half. Got physically, beat up in the game. And then, obviously, we beat Oneana. So you walk out of there feeling a little bit better. But I think what we've learned so far in our, high-major games, Fordham, UMass, Marquette, Rhode Island, teams that are a little bit more physical or kind of take us out of offensive flow is hard for us. And teams that kind of let us run offense, it's a little bit easier. And, it showed, obviously, in the second half against Siena, and then, for a lot of the game against, Colgate. But, we had a couple of days off. We'll go back live today and practice. And I think, a big takeaway, for me was, all right, we are where we are. We got some injuries, got some adversity. Let's assess things. Let's look at some bright spots. I thought Nasir Muhammad played really well, in the event. I thought Chris played, really well against Colgate. We're going to change the lineup a little bit, going into Columbia. And it's about guys that are, focused and consumed in winning, not just guys that are kind of coming out there playing. There is an expectation, which we told our guys, and you look around the league, everybody's records are different, but everybody's trying to prepare for conference play, which is coming up pretty fast.
Coach, what did you make of Isaac Abide's tournament overall? Thought he was really able to score the basketball efficiently for all three games. Do you sense that he's growing a little bit since the season began on November 3rd at Marquette?
Yeah, I think the pressure's coming off Isaac a little bit. I think he put a lot of pressure on himself to score, to have success. And it didn't go his way to start the year, but it finally did in that trip. So we're hoping, that carries over, because he is, a guy that can score at all three levels. He's a guy that can really help us. I think the big thing we've tried to challenge him on is finding his shot, being shot ready, and then, obviously getting on the glass and being really competitive defensively, at his position. So I thought the weekend was really good for him as well.
All right, what's Columbia look like? What's the matchup with Columbia on the road Saturday?
Yeah, they're 7-1. I mean, I think there's a buzz about the team, much like they came in our building last year undefeated. They'll play Hofstra tonight, and then they'll play us. I mean, they're good. They score it. They run really good offense. I think they got really good size. You know, I think for an Ivy League team, you know, it's a little bit different in that, you know, their guards have really good foot speed and their bigs, you know, they can step out and also they can play on the blocks. And I think the biggest thing they've shown, they can really score the ball. I mean, they've had games in the 80s, 90s, 100s. I mean, we're going to play two teams in the Ivy League in Cornell and Columbia that really know how to score. So what's our defensive energy like and our defensive execution? You know, we're changing our defenses sometimes in our trip. You know, we had lapses that hurt us. We got to be more locked in terms of rotations or exactly what we're doing, you know, as we try to be a little bit more disruptive defensively.
How deep are you right now with your bench, Coach?
Yeah, really good question. I would like to be 8 to 9. You know, I think circumstances make it a 7 to 8. You know, and I think we just have to grow some guys in terms of their maturity about their roles and when they hit the floor. And that's part of, you know, I think what we're doing right now in the portal is, you talk to coaches all around the country, everybody's kind of going through the same thing. You know, you're trying to coach effort and things like that. So I think kids come in and they have certain expectations, and then they realize how hard it is to meet the expectations of practices and games and all those things. And, you know, these moments, they go quick. And I think if we manage what we have in front of us right now, I mean, we'll be prepared for Columbia, and I'm hopeful that we can get, you know, 9 to 10 guys on the floor. But it's all about how we approach practice, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And you're not wrong. I think every team, including yours, you use this time of the year, certainly teams in the Americas, because you don't get rolling until after the first of the year. So figure your team out, get your guys to where you want them, develop your bench, and then it'll be go time very quickly. I mean, I don't know how many more games you have left, but there's not that many more left before you get to January, and then it's all about the Americas Conference.
Yeah, I mean, the month of December is going to fly by. I mean, I can't wait for the 21st to have a home game. It feels like, you know, we haven't played in our building in forever. but, you know, you look around the league, you know, Vermont's gotten off to a really good start. UMBC, you know, Maine, who was picked, you know, second with us, has not gotten a win yet. I think everybody has approached scheduling different. I mean, we have, you know, top 100 schedule in terms of strength of schedule. I think New Hampshire's top 50. I mean, they have like 6 bye games. I mean, it's just the non-conference season doesn't tell you everything you want it to tell you, you know, at the mid-major level, because everybody's kind of approach is different. But all this is in preparation for league play. And I think our guys have to continue to understand that. So we talked about that a little bit yesterday. And then you focus on the next opponent and you learn from that and you go. But we did tell these guys, you know, the expectation is to win. And we need guys that are playing to win and are preparing to win every day.
Coach DK, thank you so much, as always, for joining us here in your segment weekly with us here on Big Board Sports on 104.5 The Team. And have a great road trip to Columbia.
All right, brother.
Take care. That's Dwayne Killings on Big Board Sports on 104.5 The Team. We are back. New York Jets on the clock, and that means the great Rich Cimini for a few minutes here from ESPN. And, Rich, good morning to you. It's been a while. How you been?
Good morning, Roger. Good to hear from you. Always a pleasure to chat with you, and Jets are always pretty interesting.
So. Oh, yeah, always, right? I feel like, though, I mean, it's not a good year, right? It's not going to end well. We know that they're not going to make the playoffs, but it seems like the climate over the last couple of weeks has changed, at least for the better, a little bit. Is that fair?
Yes, that is fair. They've won 3 out of their last 5 games in a crazy little factoid. Since week 8, they actually have more wins than the Kansas City Chiefs. So who'd have thunk it, right?
Ooh, good one there. Good one, Rich.
Whoa.
Good one, huh?
Yeah.
obviously, the Chiefs are going through a down spell, but hey, the Jets are winning some games. Now, they haven't beaten any really good teams yet. They beat three teams, combined record 11-25, and they beat 3 backup quarterbacks. So we have to keep it in perspective. However, it beats the alternative, which was the 0-7 start, and things were pretty gloomy and dreary around the Jets. But now there's a sense of confidence that they're building. And they play another losing-type team on Sunday with Miami, so maybe they can keep it going.
Yeah, and you know, and the quarterback play has been a little bit better, too, and that I think that certainly has helped here. And then I think maybe maybe Aaron Glenn has just gotten a little bit better with handling everything as being a head coach, including dealing with the media.
Yeah, I mean, if you asked me that question a month ago, he had that bizarre press conference right before the New England game, I wrote, which I thought was, and at that moment, I would have thought that he was being swallowed up by the job. But, you know, he's definitely changed. I think he's improved, more importantly, on the field. I mean, I think his game management has been better. It was pretty much disastrous early in the year. He's improved in that area. He's even acknowledged that he's improved in that area. And so, so there's a better vibe around the building. And the quarterback play is better. I mean, let's be honest. Justin Fields was dreadful. He was just, I mean, I could throw out a whole bunch of stats. I won't bore your listeners, but we know he was dreadful. He probably will be released by the Jets after the season. And Tyrod Taylor's picked it up a little bit. You know, I don't think he's been playing great, but he's certainly created more of a downfield passing attack that's allowed some of their other players to get involved.
Rich, I'm curious. You mentioned the press conference and the viral clip when you weren't there. I remember listening to your interview on DiPietro and Rothenberg not that long ago, which was hilarious per usual. And you mentioned how the T-shirts, and maybe you could potentially get Ask Rich on shirts. I'm curious if there's been any development on that, Rich. I think it'd be genius for you to sport an Ask Rich T-shirt quoting Aaron Glenn.
Well, I don't have the, you know, I probably dropped the ball. I should have gotten the T-shirts. I actually have a photo of that. So one of my old college buddies sent me a photo. He said of the Ask Rich T-shirt, we could get it made up if you want. I did rename a segment in my podcast, my Q&A segment with readers or listeners. I call that now Ask Rich. That's the name of the segment, the Posky Podcast. A little nod to the Aaron Glenn situation, but I probably dropped the ball on the T-shirts.
Hey, the bottom line is, Rich, he's paying attention to everything you write.
Well, the bottom line is that the story was right.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
of course.
I wrote at the time that Garrett Wilson had a knee injury and was going to be out at least 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, he kind of mocked, I guess he would call it mocking, in that press conference where he kept saying, ask Rich. But 2 days later, the Jets put him on injured reserve, which means he's out 4 weeks. So, yeah. So that's and interestingly, he actually is eligible to come off IR next week. So it'll be a story next week to see if he actually gets activated.
All right. The big question is, you know, how is this season going to end? What will their draft position be? Are fans rooting for them to lose games because they want the best possible draft position because they know they have plenty of stock, if you will, to make sure they get at least the quarterback that they want for the future?
Yeah, I think half the fan base, Roger, is in the tank mode. They don't want the Jets to win at all. And it's just a bizarre we go through it every year with the Jets because, let's face it, when December rolls around, you know, the Jets are usually out of the playoff race and fans start looking ahead to the draft. And so it's the same. On Sunday, by beating the Falcons, they cost themselves 3 draft spots. They went from 4 to 7. And in this case, I'm not necessarily anti-tank. It depends on the year. But this is not the year. Tanking this year means nothing. There's no quarterback in the draft who is going. There's no Drake May. There's no Jaden Daniels. A guy who you absolutely have to have, who's going to change your trajectory of your franchise. That guy doesn't exist. There's a good one. I think Fernando Mendoza will be a good starting quarterback in the league. Probably will get picked in the top 2 or 3 picks. And so, yeah, I guess you could say the Jets missed out on him. But tanking in a year like this, there's no point in doing anything like that. I mean, especially – Aaron Glenn can't afford to tank. I mean, he's got 3 wins as a head coach. You know, he's got to win games. I mean, he's got to win to just validate his messaging to the players. He needs wins. So tanking, to me, is just ridiculous.
Rich, it's Miami on Sunday. Last time these teams played on the 29th of September on Monday Night Football, it was a good and competitive game, but sloppy from the Jets. I remember the turnovers as the lead coming out of that. Miami comes in favored as 2.5 on the road. It's a Jet life, as the fans love to say. Not MetLife, Jet life, Rich. Do you expect more of the same? You expect a competitive game here Sunday between the Dolphins and Jets?
I do. This will be a really close game. The Dolphins have turned around their season. I mean, gosh, they were, what, 1-6? You know, the GM got fired. It looked like the coach was halfway out the door. But now they've reeled off, you know, I think 4 out of the last 5. They've won. They're playing much better. But I do think I give a slight edge to the Jets in this game. It's going to be cold on Sunday. I think it's going to be about 39 as the high. So that's not Miami weather. So I think that'll be a factor. I think, now I might be going out on a limb here. You know, Tua Tagovailoa is the tied for the league lead in interceptions. Got 14, I believe. The Jets have yet to intercept a pass on defense, that's which is historically crazy. Bad. So I think, I don't want to get a little ahead of my, I think the Jets may get their first interception on Sunday, and I think they can come away with a win over Miami.
Oh, there we
hey,
go.
In terms of who makes these decisions about, you know, players, and I know they have a general manager, but it feels to me like Aaron Glenn has a lot to say with what's happening with the future of this franchise.
Absolutely. Aaron Glenn is the he has the most juice in the organization, and he's calling the shots. And I mean, the GM has a lot of say as well, but Aaron Glenn is the he carries the most weight.
Yeah, that's what that's the feel that you get. All right, we'll see how it all plays out here the rest of the way. Rich, always a pleasure to have you on our show for a few minutes, as well respected as you are around the NFL. Great pleasure to have you on ESPN Radio in Albany.
My pleasure, guys. Happy holidays.
Yep, same
happy
to you,
holidays,
buddy.
Rich.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, sir.
The great Rich Cimini from ESPN,
yep,
covering the New York Jets. And we are back now for the start of hour number 3 on our show. Always on a Wednesday, we pay a visit with our friend Sylvain Cloutier, the head coach of the Adirondack Thunder. Coach Cloutier, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing all right. It could be better, but I'm fine.
Yeah, well, you've had a stretch of home games, that's for sure, which I know that you enjoy that.
Yeah, no, it was nice to be home. Obviously, we didn't get the results we wanted. You know, the results should have been a lot better, you know, especially Friday. We controlled the whole game, and then we won in overtime. And then, you know, we come out the rest of the weekend, and you control, really dominate part of the game, and then you find a way to give it to Worcester. And obviously, it wasn't what we wanted, but now we got to, you know, we can use excuses. We were short bodies. We had a lot of injuries, but those, we don't need to use those. There's a next man up mentality that needs to come in and do a job.
Well, I was paying attention to Wednesday before the Thanksgiving. I didn't like that call that went against your team that led to a power play goal and a 3-2 final against Trois-Rivières.
No, I mean, that's another game, right? We had we tied it up, and then we were all over them in overtime. We had a lot of chances, and we replayed that penalty, that call in slow motion and watch it. And, you know, I give credit to the Trois-Rivières guy. He probably got a 9.9 on that one, and which, you know, good on him for selling it, I guess. But, you know, to lose that way was pretty disappointing, right? Because it was two big points that night. We've been fighting with Trois-Rivières to stay close to them, third or fourth place, and now we got some work to do.
Yeah, you came back and did get the win on Friday against Worcester. And then how did you grade out? How did you look at the video and in review from Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, even Friday night, like, we controlled the game, and then we found a way to let them back in. And it's almost like we got all three games where we controlled the first period. Like, I think on Sunday, the shots were 22-1 after the first. We were controlling the game, playing the way we can play. Then we took a penalty, then we took another one. It kind of just unraveled. The wheels fell off for some reason. And it was like, you know, we've been watching a lot of video this week trying to prepare for this weekend, but we just got to make sure we stay focused and play the way we can. Because if we play the way we did Saturday night in the first and then Sunday in the first period, there's no reason why we couldn't have come away with the 4 points on Saturday and Sunday.
And goaltending-wise, Coach Jacob Malik recorded his first North American professional win in net on Friday night, and then he was reassigned back to Utica on Sunday. So I guess you did your job there, right? When they get a goaltender gets sent down like that, you have to see what he can do and put him in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the communication with New Jersey is really good. So, you know, they called and said, you know, we want to send Malik down this week. We'll call Brenny up. And, you know, it gave Brennan a chance to go up and spend a week with the American League and be able to practice with them and work with their goalie coach. And then with Malik coming down, he hadn't played in a while, and they wanted him to get two games. When they called, said, can you play him Wednesday, Friday? And obviously, we're talking with him, we're going to do that. And, you know, he did a great job. Like, he could have went 2-0, really, on those two nights. And, you know, we were happy for him. And then, you know, when he left, he was excited. He really enjoyed his time because of the crowds were awesome. The atmosphere was awesome. And I know right now in Utica, obviously, it's not, I don't know how good their crowds are right now, but he just loved the atmosphere that we had here, and he was pretty excited about that.
It gets no better in Glens Falls. Harding Mazzotti Arena. We love the partnership there. That's fantastic. How about we highlight some guys that are on my notables here that are coming off a pretty good performances, and let's start with defenseman Jeremy Hansel, coach, on a 3-game point streak.
Yeah, Hansel's been coming along. Right when we first got him at the start of the year, he's a very offensive-minded defenseman, and we've been really preaching working with him to try to become, you know, that all-around D-man. He's a big body that can skate. He can probably skate at the NHL level. He's such a good skater. But we've been working on the defensive side of things with him the first few weeks, and we've been preaching, and we've been telling him the offense is going to come, it's going to come, and now you can see in this game. I mean, he logs about 27 minutes a night for us right now. So he's a big key, and he's been rewarded right now for his hard work.
All right. How about next up on my list, Coach, is TJ Friedman, who played in his 100th ECHL game on Sunday for you.
Yeah. And, you know, anytime you hit those achievements, it's awesome to see these guys do this. And TJ's been Mr. Reliable, right? He's like, I can put him anywhere in the lineup, from the first line to our third or fourth unit. He just does his job, and he's a great penalty killer, so he's a big part of that special team for us.
And speaking of milestones, it gets no bigger than Justin Taylor. He's now tick, 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 Coach, 5 away from setting the record for all-time games played in the ECHL, and we talked about that last week, but it's worth another shout-out to your outstanding forward, Justin Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, what he's doing at his age, and I think he's got 6 goals right now. He might be second behind McManus. And, you know, Tails just plays the game the right way. And to be able to do that for that long, like, it's quite the accomplishment. It doesn't matter if it's the NHL, American League, East Coast Hockey League. That's a hard thing to do, to play that long. And credit to him for his dedication to the game.
We're talking with Sylvain Cloutier, as we do every week here on this platform on a Wednesday right around 12 o'clock. And Adirondack have gone to 7 overtime games this season. Did you know that stat, Coach?
No, I wasn't. I knew we had a few, but I didn't realize it was that many. I think we got to stop not going in overtime and win it in regulation. It would be a lot nicer. It would be less stressful for us coaching staff, that's for sure.
In case you wanted to know, you are tied for the league lead in that category with Greensboro, just an FYI on that. Also, I want to point out, thanks to Rob Lapolis, your Director of Communications and Broadcasting, who just does an outstanding job for you, but Adirondack sold out back-to-back games over the weekend, and you now have 4 sellouts in the first 7 home games of the season at Harding Mazzotti Arena.
Yeah, I know, it's awesome. Our fans are awesome, and you know, we got to give them more wins here at home. Here we got to get on the roll at home. We got a lot of games again. I think we have 4 of our next 5 at home, and we got to take advantage of that. And they're a big part of it, right? The atmosphere and the noise they make. There's no reason why we can't reward them with some wins here.
All right, what's the matchup like coming up? Let's fast forward to this week, Friday and Saturday. You got the Maine Mariners in your building, in your barn, as we like to say, on Friday, on the road on Saturday. What's the matchup going to be like against Maine?
It's going to be tight. I mean, we played them already this year twice. I think both games went in overtime. So, you know, we match really well, and I know they got their guys back down now from Providence. They got Kalmakoff back. He's one of the leading scorers in the league. He's a guy we got to keep an eye on. He controls their power play and obviously their offense. So, you know, they're solid goaltender too. So we're going to have to get a lot of traffic on their goalie and make sure we go to the paint and get to the net here. But, you know, Rick, a friend of mine, so his team's going to be ready. We're going to have to make sure that we're ready to go too. So obviously 2 former River Rats going at it here with Kowalski and myself. So should be a fun weekend.
No doubt about it. You bring up the River Rats back in the day, Sylvain.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of hockey tradition here in the Capital Region, not only up in Glens Falls, but, you know, we had AHL right here in downtown Albany for a lot of years.
Yeah, we did. It was fun. I enjoyed my 3 years there too, right? Got to know a lot of people down there. We had a good following at the time too, so. So it's nice to see former guys, right? Rick coached there and I got to play there. So there's a lot of history for sure. The Albany teams.
Yep. Those were the good old days. But the tradition continues in Glens Falls. That is
That's right, for sure.
Sylvain, always a pleasure. We enjoy our segments each week, and we should let the masses know that if somebody missed your segment, not listening to us, you know, live on the air at 12 noon, they can go to our 104.5 The Team website and go to Big Board Sports Audio, and they can listen to your segment whenever they want. Just an FYI on that.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Okay, well, I'll make sure I get the word out too for you guys.
Yeah, and I'll let Rob know that he might be able to help us promote that a little bit on our webpage.
For sure.
All right, Coach. Thank you. Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good week.
You too. Bye. Take care. That's Sylvain Cloutier. Really enjoy our visit with him every Wednesday in this time slot. Yeah, does a good job, and they're home Friday night against Maine. They'll drop the puck at 7 p.m.